This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is the Evening Edition and I'm Esme Joseph. We have the good debaters from the Malaysian Institute for Debate and Public Speaking joining us today to speak about the touchy issue of autonomy in schools. We've covered a myriad of topics when it comes to the Malaysian education system here on the Evening Edition, and it's apparent that all stakeholders involved recognise the issues at hand. There are sound solutions that come with this recognition, and one of them is the question of whether schools should be given autonomy. The ideal reasoning is that autonomy will give schools the freedom to do what's right for them. It would give parents and communities a voice in school management and administration. It would give principals and teachers the power to instill what works for the school, resulting in the improvement of quality and efficiency of students. But those against the idea of autonomy have valid points too. First of all, it's not that they are exactly opposed to the idea. They are just sceptical because it's a known fact that our schools are completely unready to shoulder any more responsibilities, all thanks to the many existing issues that are currently in place. As it is, we have the Ministry of Education calling all the shots in how schools function. An example would be how principals and teachers are moved around like musical chairs, not based on their strengths and capabilities that would fit the school, but as a mere number to fill worksheets and administrative planning. So, the question that needs to be asked is, are our schools ready for such a huge step? Are we capable of harnessing that sort of power? And that's what we'll be debating today. Should schools be given complete autonomy? Before we get started, I'd like to introduce our debaters this evening. Lim Wei Jet, who is for the proposal that schools be given full autonomy, is a 2015 graduate from University of Malaya and now practices civil litigation at a law firm based in KL. He was a former national champion and finalist at World Universities and Australasian Debating Championships, and is the first Malaysian to win the Global Debate and Public Policy Challenge in 2014. Tariq Makatab, who is opposing today's motion, is a law graduate of UITM and is currently a practicing lawyer. As a debater, he has won several championships and have also represented Malaysia in international debating competitions. While the debaters get their arguments ready, we'll head for a quick break and come back with Wei Jet to kick things off. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Evening Edition. I'm Esme Joseph. With me this evening are the debaters from the Malaysian Institute of Debating and Public Speaking, Wei Jet and Tariq. And we're here discussing if our schools should be given complete autonomy. Wei Jet, let's hear from you about your thoughts and why you think school autonomy is necessary.
Right, so I'm going to be defending autonomy in schools, particularly in Malaysia. Let's look at the problem in Malaysia first. And we are in a situation where education is not at its best level. We rank very lowly in TISA rankings, in the TIMSS evaluation exams. And I believe that these are mere symptoms of an ailing structural deficiencies in a public education system in Malaysia. And I believe that the root cause of it is manifold. Mainly, the quality of teaching and teachers. But secondly, and arguably the more important problem here, is the overly centralized policies which are very much detached from the needs of society and often inconsistent. You only need to look at the flip-flopping of the PPSMI, for example. Worse is that the entire nation is beholden to this one-size-fits-all solution, which has been implemented over 50-odd years, and you really need to beg the question, is this the way forward for Malaysia? And I say no. I believe that autonomy is the way forward for schools in Malaysia. And by autonomy, we look at two principles which are very important when we talk about autonomy. Firstly, on the idea of accountability, and secondly, on the idea of choice. But before I go into that, let me define what autonomy and what my version of autonomy should materialize in Malaysia. Firstly, principals should have the autonomy to hire, to sack and to promote teaching staff or any other staff in the school for that matter. Secondly, I believe that the school or the principals should have control over the curriculum and the pedagogy and the teaching in classrooms. Whilst the Education Ministry can set minimum material guidelines to comply, I believe that the bulk of the content that is being taught, the choice of which textbooks are being used, how lesson plans are executed, should be solely within the realm of teachers. Thirdly, in terms of financing, they are still public schools, hence they are still funded by the federal government, perhaps proportionally to the number of students attending the school. Perhaps the government can give more funding to rural schools first as a buffer to implement this policy before it gets into full force. Fourthly, and this is very important, is the idea of accountability. So what if this principal who has so much power goes rogue or makes bad decisions? That's where a school council comes in. Now, this school council is elected by parents, where you put parents, teachers and community leaders in a sort of board of directors of the school, which are responsible for the oversight and the management of the school and can appoint the principal. And fifthly, I believe that the Education Ministry still has a role in all of this. They can release data on which schools are the best achieving in terms of examinations. They could build more schools, they could train better teachers, but overall, control should remain in the schools. Now, why is this good for Malaysia? Firstly, better student outcomes. Why do I say this? For three reasons. Firstly, because you increase teacher quality. When you are able to hire and be able to remove teachers and promote them based on merit, teachers realize that they need to buck up. This competitive policy pushes teachers to improve themselves. And frankly, some teachers aren't supposed to be in the education business at all. These teachers are either lazy or are unmotivated to teach students. I believe this kind of autonomy in schools allows the principals to have power to remove these people from the education system. And in terms of promotion even, in status quo, teachers are promoted to head of departments merely based on their seniority. Just because you are DG48 or DG52, you are able to be promoted. I believe that teachers, when they are given the autonomy to choose, they are able to promote the best teachers. And secondly, on flexibility in curriculum, I believe that in status quo, the schools are very much shackled by the textbooks or the lesson plans which are provided by the Education Ministry. Imagine a world where you are able to unleash creativity and innovation, and teachers are able to teach the Roman or the Greek empires, teach about Chinese civilization, or teach beyond what is being taught in English textbooks, which are frankly not at a very good state now as standards keep getting lower and lower. And thirdly and most importantly is the idea of inclusivity. Parents should have a role in decision making. When they have a role in the decision making process, they are more participative. They are more interested in what goes on in the lessons and what goes on in the classrooms. And they are more interested to the future of their children at the end of the day. And that kind of participation naturally attracts better outcomes for students. They are more motivated. Their parents are more involved in their education. Hence, this is something that I believe should be the path Malaysia is taking to. Thank you.
Thank you, Wejet. Tariq, it's your turn to tell us why you disagree.
What I'll be doing today is I'll be telling you exactly why I oppose school autonomy. But before that, let me just set a very important caveat. I accept that the education system needs improvement. I think that we do need more quality teachers. We do need to find a way to remove incompetent or lazy teachers. We need to improve our curriculum. I think that at the end of the day, if we have curriculum like English to be taught for math and science, I think we should maintain it and not flip-flop. I agree with Wejet on this. But where I disagree is how much autonomy can be given to schools. And in this, I'll be defending the merits of a centralized system, but I'll also show you why autonomy is not really the be-all and end-all, or it's not really the best way forward. So let me tell you why we don't need autonomy in terms of resources, and secondly, why we don't need autonomy in terms of curriculum. Why don't we need autonomy in terms of resources? Essentially, the principle that Wejet talked about was this idea of the market, right? That we need a way, we need the flexibility of principals to be able to hire and fire, to allocate resources wherever they see fit. What I would posit is that this exacerbates inequalities. How would this do so? By doing this, you would create a marketplace of schools where parents would decide where their children go to. But more importantly, and this is quite relevant to the Malaysian system, is that it would also open up the labour market in terms of teachers. So presumably, if you're going to have a system where principals are able to hire and fire teachers at will, what you would have is a scenario that would advantage socially advantaged communities over socially disadvantaged communities, right? So let's paint a very simple scenario, right? As a teacher in a poor neighborhood where you struggle with teaching kids basic concepts like English and mathematics, this is a struggle for you on a daily basis. You hear about it about a school nearby that recently was granted autonomy. This school is located in a very socially advantaged location. What kind of location is this? This is one where it's located in a very middle-class neighborhood. Crime rates are relatively low. The students are also socially advantaged in the sense of the resources that their parents afford them, right? As a teacher, would we fault this teacher for wanting to leave that school and go to that socially advantaged school? What this creates, therefore, or what this scenario creates, is a snowball effect where you've got more the high quality teachers moving to the better schools and moving away from where they're needed the most in socially disadvantaged locations. So that's part one of why resources or why the market can sometimes work in a very perverse way. Secondly, I'll tell you why, just in terms of curriculum, we need to maintain a centralized message. Look, Malaysia lives in a very fractured sense. And I would argue that the best way for us to unite us is to have one national message and one national mindset. So the origin of a national education system is quite old, right? I mean, we recognize education as a basic human right. This is within the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We think, more importantly, if I were to use a Marxist analysis, the idea behind an education system or why we had universal education was that it was necessary to create useful workers as well as consumers. And the point of a centralized system is that it ensures that a minimum baseline is met. So it means that not only would the education system produce a minimum an expectation of what these people would be once they leave school, but also an expectation on the part of employers in terms of what kind of individuals would come out. So what kind of skills they would necessarily come out. The problem with an autonomous system is that there is no baseline. There is how would you be able to establish a baseline that employers may reasonably use to enable or to be able to gauge whether or not the employees that they may employ would be able to meet the standard that they so demand? But at the end of the day, it's really about unifying or standardizing what it means to be an individual who has left or who has gone through that education system at the end of the day. I think that fracturing our education system further isn't the way forward, and I think the best way is to allocate resources adequately to all schools to improve our curriculum in general, but not to fracture our increasingly fractured society as it is already. Thank you.
Thank you, Tariq. When we come back after the news, the boys continue this discussion. Stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. And we're back on the Evening Edition today, debating if our schools should be given complete autonomy. Joining us are Wei Jiat and Tariq, debaters from the Malaysian Institute of Debating and Public Speaking. We'll now hear from Wei Jiat, who is for the motion that schools be given autonomy, and his response to Tariq's arguments made earlier.
Basically, MakeTap is arguing on two points. Firstly, on how this autonomous policy exacerbates inequality, and secondly, on why you need a united national mindset in Malaysia. Let's look at the first idea of exacerbating inequality. I think MakeTap is assuming that essentially urban schools will be pooled with more money and more resources and hence better able to pay teachers to attract them. I believe that in many policies across the board in Canada or Finland that also practices school autonomy, I believe the allocation of resources is almost equal between rural schools compared to the urban schools. So it's not exactly accurate to say that urban schools have everything that teachers are able to flock towards those areas. And secondly, I believe that teachers essentially are still humans. They have ties towards the local communities which they are raised and born with. So a teacher in Kelantan might be attracted by the salary in Damansara Jaya, but due to his family being present there or the husband working in Kelantan, they might stay on and they will still be able to contribute within the schools in these rural areas that MakeTap is concerned about. But MakeTap also fails to point out the idea of competition. Essentially, the idea of competition is essentially a good thing. When you have autonomous schools, you're able to weed out those who are not highly performing, which those who are, you're able to promote people based on merit. And this, on a general, gives a better effect towards the entire education system as a whole, as opposed to only looking at the disparity between the urban and rural schools. And there is an underlying effect that is has much more benefits than this kind of divide, which might happen in societies at first, but as you go on to 20 years forward, I believe that school autonomy will able to equalize society in a sense that better teachers are able to produce and better teachers are able to thrive within the system. Second thing that MakeTap talk is the idea of unity. I believe that in many countries like Canada or Finland or even Japan, which practices school autonomy, there is no erosion of national values or there is no departure of a national ethos that MakeTap wants to champion about. Because essentially, we are championing decentralization. We are not removing the government's role totally from schools. There is still room for basic material to be covered. For example, you would want students to know the founding fathers of Malaysia. You would know how the history of how Malaysia is formed. That should be the overarching framework. But the details in it, the syllabus, the textbooks, what chapter that should be taught in what month, those things shouldn't be imposed on teachers. Teachers should have the flexibility to innovate within the classrooms to be able to tell the history of a nation, tell about the founding fathers of a nation in an engaging manner in a way which they think best caters to their students, instead of being stuck to a textbook, stuck to a lesson plan that is fixed and mandated by the government. I believe that school autonomy gives teachers this room to explore many more teaching methods. For example, putting two teachers in a classroom instead of one teacher to assist weaker students, for example, or to move students from classroom to classroom according to subjects instead of cramming everyone within the same classroom for the entire year. And these are the tools which principals and teachers are able to employ to make education more engaging and hence better able to absorb and better able to appreciate and internalize all the values and historical notions that MakeTap is so concerned about. And I believe that school autonomy is something which is better able to encapsulate the vision that and the concerns that MakeTap is talking about here. Thank you.
Thanks, Wejet. Let's see what Tariq's rebuttal is.
All right, I think Wejet missed my original point about allocation of resources. The idea wasn't so much that urban schools would be advantaged into the resources, but that urban schools or middle-class areas have a social advantage that isn't readily quantifiable or something that the Ministry of Education can put money towards. So when he says that teachers are still tied to the local community and refuse to return, I would point him to the example of the current issue where Sabah made, there was a promise that Sabah would have English teachers. But the problem is that even teachers from Sabah are reluctant to be transferred back. This is an issue not just about education and whether or not these people are human, but it's an issue of social mobility. Even these teachers look forward to be transferred to KL or JB because of the advantages that you get from being in an urban area, the networking, the opportunities for your children, etc. So that's one. Two, when he says that competition creates a better effect, I think we need to point out that brutal efficiency in terms of weeding out bad teachers is a bad thing. I agree with Wejet that teachers are people too. But when you have a situation where the Ministry of Education acknowledges that there's a shortage of competent teachers, when we don't have enough teachers, I think that competition sometimes can create pernicious effects. When you have competition that grades teachers, for example, in terms of performance or the performance of their students, what you create is not really a system where teachers are encouraged to do whatever is necessary, but bad teachers that are underperforming are also discouraged from doing further, especially when, like in some parts of America, where pay is tied to the performance of your students. I think that's a very pernicious trend, and I think we shouldn't go down that road. But lastly, when he talks about united values and brings the examples of Japan and Finland, I would like to point out that those are very homogenous societies, right, where you don't have the same kind of racial, religious issues or fragmentation that occurs in Malaysia. So I think that even more so, that the comparison between Malaysia and Finland or Japan is quite off. And we think if we have issues in terms of details for teaching the syllabus, I think that's fine. I think that kind of improvement can happen. But it needs to come from a centralized place, from a body that will have looked at the data, would have looked at the effectiveness of those particular teaching methods. The problem with autonomy is that you will test out these methods and the guinea pigs will be the students. The effectiveness of these methods is left to the marketplace to decide at the end of the day. Let me just point out two examples related to autonomy as well. When you talk about PISA, the 2012 report, they pointed out that autonomy in terms of resources is unrelated to overall school performance. The greater emphasis is really on improving the resources overall, as well as improving the curriculum overall. The second example I'd like to point out is that if you look at Australia, which has led the way globally in terms of autonomy in schools, it was shown that there was no difference in performance at national and international level between Victoria, the District of Victoria, which led the world in school autonomy over the past 20 years, and the district or the region of New South Wales, which operated on a centralized school system until recently. The point of these two examples is to show that autonomy structurally isn't something that will change the education system overnight. I think even Wayjet is readily willing to agree that, and I don't expect that this will change it. But when you look at how the Malaysian system is and the Malaysian society that exists now, I think that going down the road of autonomy, of acknowledging that, I agree with Wayjet, that the structural problem over resources, right? As long as those things aren't resolved, I don't think we should go down the road of autonomy. Thanks.
Thank you, Tariq. We're going to go for a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be hearing the closing arguments from our debaters. Keep it locked on to BFM 89.9. It's the evening edition, and I'm Esme Joseph. We've come to the tail end of our debate today on whether our schools should be given complete autonomy. Wayjet and Tariq from the Malaysian Institute of Debating and Public Speaking joins us this evening, and they are about to make their closing arguments. Wayjet, the floor is yours. Tell us why you think school autonomy is the answer for overall betterment in our schools.
I like MakeTab's analogy of us being guinea pigs because I believe that a centralized system in Malaysia we have been victims of decentralized systems for many years. Look at PPSMI, look at the UPSR system where the education ministry is now essentially flip-flopping on Muhyiddin's proposal to have a less exam-centric assessment. So I believe that enough is enough. We need power and autonomy back to schools who are able to know which is best for the students, where parents and teachers and community leaders are able to create curriculum, are able to allocate resources based on what they see is best, instead of being beholden to this minister who might not be appointed or might be newly appointed when the cabinet reshuffles. But let's go back to some points which MakeTab made. He makes an interesting point on the PISA assessment on the report that autonomy over allocation of resources does not really correlate with improved student performance. But what he fails to point out is that autonomy over curriculum instead shows there is a correlation with increased student performance. And that is essentially something which needs to be highlighted and it needs to be crucially examined, especially in the context where Finland and Canada and Britain has been implementing over the years and has reaped the benefits out of a autonomy over curriculum, and that is something worth mentioning. But I also believe that Malaysia is already on track towards a more decentralized system. You have Yayasan Ame Trust Schools nowadays that is funded by Yayasan Khazanah and many other corporations. These schools are semi-private. They have autonomy over curriculum on top of existing curriculum. They have control over timetabling. They have control over human resources, where the people from Yayasan Ame are able to sit in the interview session with prospective principals into the schools. So these are examples on how the government itself in Malaysia has already recognized the importance of autonomy over schools and how there is proven evidence that this leads to better student performance. But I would say before I end this that we have allowed autonomy for universities, autonomy for state governments, and possibly we are also fighting for autonomy over local authorities nowadays. There is no reason why that same kind of benefits cannot translate into schools, which are essentially one of the most important social function in any society, to be able to raise the kids and raise the next generation of Malaysians. When you talk about competition, yes, there will be corrosive elements of competition in the beginning, but I believe that, like the working world nowadays, those people who are bad teachers, who are not supposed to be there, should be weeded out. The best teachers should be able to shine. And I also believe that a centralized system does not mean that you need to devalue the idea of a national ethos or national character. Those kind of values still can be inbuilt within the autonomous school system. I think we need to have more faith over the parents and teachers, who are essentially also citizens of Malaysia and who also want this kind of values to transcend to their students. And that is the kind of faith that I believe the Malaysian schools deserve, the faith towards their parents and teachers, but more importantly, the government needs to have faith over schools and principals and parents to have control over essentially what is their destiny in life. Thank you.
And now, Tariq, give us a summary as to why school autonomy doesn't necessarily justify results.
I am a principled libertarian. I tend to believe that markets will solve many issues. In most circumstances, I would be perfectly happy with decentralization of government power. This is not one of those times. I initially thought that, you know, that looking at the data, I was expecting that the data would support the idea that school autonomy would create better outcomes initially. Like, that was based on what I thought. But looking at the data and looking at how it hasn't led to improvements, and in fact may create or regress the Malaysian education system, is when I've decided to oppose it. So I can summarize my case into two planks. One is that autonomy or the increased marketization of the education system would exacerbate inequalities. I brought to you the hypothetical scenario of a teacher who will choose to move to a better location, not because of the money, but simply because it gives their family a better shot at life. That's a logical deduction about what happens in those situations. But secondly, I would like to point out that even though PISA talked about the fact that autonomy in curriculum helps, I don't think there was enough discussion as to how it has an impact on societies that still face a lot of social, religious, and socioeconomic issues. I think that's something that we really have to consider. Really now, I would just like to close with a quote from a report entitled The Myth of Markets in School Education, right? The quote goes as such: "The best way forward is to figure out the best methods to teach and to learn, and then implement reform through high-quality systems of teacher development, appraisal and feedback, among others. Autonomous schools in Australia and other countries are no better at implementing these programs than our centralized schools." The point is that we all recognize that the education system has a long way to go. That's the whole point, that there is an ideal that we always strive towards. But I think that taking away the control of this from the people whom we elected to oversee this whole program to begin with is really a step backwards. Thank you.
And that's it for today, folks. A big thank you to both Wei Jet and Tariq from the Malaysian Institute of Debating and Public Speaking for joining us this evening to argue the pros and cons of school autonomy. To those of you listening, do text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio and let us know who you thought won the debate. If you've missed any part of this program, head on to bfm.my to download the podcast. Thanks for listening. This has been the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.